Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The news is just all over the show, and as we try and process what is happening, I'm going to call in the experts. I am calling in the experts, and that is, of course, Professor William Kohlbrenner, as well as Ronit Eitan. We chat to them on Fridays at this time, and we try and figure things out because we very, very rarely succeed, but we give it a bash anyway. Good morning to both of you. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So there's two subjects that I want to talk about today. And I don't know if they're the same. They could even be the same subject. The first one, of course, is what is happening in Gaza in terms of those protests. Do we dare to dream, Professor?
Oh, we always dare to dream, Howard. I just have to confess that I'm not up to empathy. Look at the newspaper.
Okay.
We had missiles from Lebanon yesterday, I think at around lunchtime, and in this bizarre situation that I'm in right now. My wife now is sitting Shiva, so it's her mother. It's very romantic. We do everything together.
Yes, wow. A couple shiver together, stays together or something.
Something like that.
It was better in my head. Yeah.
So in the middle of this, there's a siren, and some of our grandkids are here, and it's like, oh, not again. There's always somebody who's terrified, so you have to calm them down. And my dog is shaking as I'm taking him down. So is what happening in Gaza? I mean, first of all, it's so impossible to know what's going on in this country, and to know what's happening in Gaza and what the motivations are and how it fits in everybody else's narratives. But I think it raises another question of just, to what extent can we be sympathetic or empathetic? And, as I'm carrying my dog downstairs yesterday, I'm thinking, I'm not up to sympathy, let alone empathy.
Ronit?
Well, it's been given a lot of attention in the media.
Sure.
This, a lot. I mean, it's taking up most of, of the news, because we do aspire for some sort of a dialogue, and we do want to see that people there, are just fed up with the situation like us, because it's been almost a standstill. There's no negotiation, and we're just waiting for the next step of whatever will happen. So in a way, it feels like almost like a ray of light, like a ray of hope. Okay, maybe something is happening there. But then there's also the voices who say that it's a ruse, right? The Hamas is doing it just to get us some sympathy or empathy, and to see that they're not as bad as they are. So we're very confused. I don't think we are very optimistic about it. We want to see how it plays out. I think we're just saying, okay, that's great. I mean, yes, if it's happening, then we're very happy. But how much do we actually think that it's happening? We're just saying, okay, let's feel this out. I think we're not extremely optimistic about that.
So I put the question.
I mean, I want to say, yay. But
right. Bill?
No, I would just give a historical perspective, and I think part of the fantasy that we have about what might be happening in Gaza is, we went through enlightenment. There was no enlightenment in the Middle East, and because of enlightenment, we have these ideals of liberalism and toleration. And it turns out in the West, and Howard, I know you feel this as well, that these are not just ideas, they're feelings. It's a way of life, it's a way of being.
It's an aspiration.
It's an aspiration, right. And this is just a historical fact. Those languages that became so much part of European culture, European philosophy, they didn't really enter into Middle Eastern cultures. And that's part of the conflict in Israel as well, is there are many Ashkenazim European who came here and import that enlightenment into an environment where it's not native, even among Jews.
So it was interesting. Last night, I hosted a panel. It was with four people, two of which were survivors. One was a survivor of Kfar Aza. The other one, one of the other panelists was a survivor of the Nova Festival. And she sold, I think, jewelry there, and she was very much part of this whole trance party environment, talking about love and all of the other things. And she said she went into the to Nova, you know, a person who loves and left their person who hates, because she fought for her life very, very actively. The story was quite horrific, as many, many are. And I asked them both these questions, and neither of them were even, let alone at the empathy, sympathy level, they were downright dismissive, knowing, they said, of the first wave, the second wave, and then the third wave of terrorists, which were civilians, and then the fourth wave, which were in fact women and children, coming to loot the kibbutzim. She said, they both said, they are nowhere near, which is fully understandable, of course, and there's still hostages in Gaza, and there are still, you know, the intention to destroy Israel and to kill Jews. So it's not unreasonable that Israelis are feeling what you guys are feeling.
I think that we're very cautious. I mean, we do wanna, like I said, you make peace with your enemies. So that's something that is almost like a mantra now. We're just trying to say, okay, so, I mean, we need to have some sort of, and I think that's the problem now. We don't see what the future plan is. Is there a big strategy that we are not aware of? I really, really hope so. Do I think there is one? No. Mm-hmm. We're stuck in a limbo. So these little things kind of give us hope. I mean, can I blame a Nova survivor for not thinking that? Yes, I do. But then it just kind of puts up a wall. I mean, you have to kind of try to look, you know, in between and just see if there's some light in there. Can we just have something there that can be, you know, give us hope and just have some sort of a conversation? I don't know. I mean, I hope so. I mean, I'm being, again, the optimistic one. I can't believe it, but I want to believe that we can come into some sort of an agreement and just kind of live a normal life. That's all we want.
Except that
Howard, now you and I should sing We Are the World.
Yes. Well, what I was thinking is that one of the few things that unite all Israelis is their abhorrence and fear of being a friar, of being taken advantage of. And that's probably the one of the common threads in Israel. Surely there must be that feeling, are we being duped? Is this genuine? We've been duped before by Gazans working at the kibbutzim and then providing the information about each family where they worked so that Hamas could do their worst. How can you expect people knowing that to say, well, you've embraced peace finally, you know, let's embrace you?
Listen, Howard, you started off by saying, you know, we're the experts, and we're not the experts, but we try to process, I think. Or like you, we're very aware of this process and trying to give language to get through this trauma. And I think that's part of it. I mean, the Nova survivor, her trauma is so immediate and so palpable and so powerful that it's hard to overcome. The question is, can we overcome our own trauma first? Because before we can talk to other people, we have to have some kind of process by which we understand who we are now. And I think what Ronit is saying, and there's an enormous frustration in this country right now with not knowing the plan. We want to have a future. But you said last week, Howard, you implied, you know, we need idealists. We need people who can bring us together towards that future.
Well, who said that? When man can no longer dream of the beauty that can be, then he's begun to die. Somebody famous said that. It definitely wasn't me.
Probably somebody I should know.
But yeah, yeah. Somebody on this call should know. I'm just saying. But but either way, what about the protests in Israel? Are we going back to Yom Kippur 2023?
Ronit?
Yes. So I go to protests. I actually participate. I think it's important. I think. I mean, the fear is that we're getting back to October 6th, where the nation is
divided. In my mind, it's Yom Kippur. You know, the pulling down of the mechitza. That to me That's my October 6th.
It's very. Divisive. It's just the idea that the people at the top don't understand that this is not the time. And I think, you know, the demonstration is not just for specific things. It's just for saying, hey, hear us out. We want to believe that you're out there and you're up there looking and understanding what's happening. And I think they're not. They're so disconnected. We just don't understand why this is happening now. You know, that's the problem. And I think, you know, we feel like our voice is also being silenced. So we need to get out there and just say, you know, just hear us out. You know, we're there. That's why I'm going. That's why my family is going.
It's almost saying, don't forget about us.
About the political.
It's saying, don't forget about us. We hear as well. It's not just, it's not only certain segments of Israeli population. We are here. We are here too.
And it's important to say, Roni is not a typical, as people say derisively in this country, Smolny or leftist. I think that's what's really important. Ronit and her family are going. And it's what you're saying as well, Howard. It's the rest of us. It's the people who are not taken into this codependent dance of extremists. You know, there are some people, I'm sure, on the far left, they obviously are, who are feeding the right. And what they want to do and what Ronit is protesting against is they want to take over all of the discourse. And Ronit and her family are saying, we're also here, as you said.
Yep, that is where we leave it. Always quick, unfortunately, it is 8:31. Professor William Kohlbrenner, Ronit Eitan, thank you, as always, for helping us process so much of the week. It is 8:32. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.